which is the high-speed enforcement. Our function is very simple. We coordinate, we do intervention. When we pick up, we used to do intervention. We support our provincial police and the municipal police. Currently, we have 231 officers, and they participate nationally. So, for example, in KZN last week, we were there with the KZN officials at the Fields Hill doing a very big roadblock to us. The week before, we were in Gauteng, we applied for enforcement entity in Gauteng. We were doing taxis. So we certainly are intervention, but we support and certainly coordinate with the various issues. So that's really what the role of the National Traffic Police is. And yes, we don't do speed camera work, it's all physically on inspecting. For example, this morning on Bitcorp, you will see us standing in the middle of Bitcorp where people are driving contra flow, and that's what we do. So we certainly take that as the National Traffic Police. Honourable Chair, with me to my right, well, two members of the executive of the RTFC team. Ashraf will present the performance information. Mike will present the financial information. We will certainly take the questions off the members and also revert back to you if you are able to answer. So, Ashraf, if you can start, please.
Honourable Chair, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, DDGD, Transport, and senior members from the Ministry, chairpersons and CEOs of sister agencies, fellow colleagues from the RTMC, and all transport family members. And the chair, I just want to confirm that I think the only reason they asked me to present is so that I keep in with the tradition of all the previous speakers in terms of, I think, size and weight. They're not here, so I guess I can get away with making such comments. Okay. Madam Chair, the outline of today's presentation is reflected on the screen. We'll look at the role of the RTMC as the agency for road safety, the targeted outcomes, goals and objectives, the audited outcomes. We'll look at the operating environment, the staff complement, the management team as it stands currently, the skills development, of course, and the most important, the achieved targets, what the financial statements are saying, and that part we'll hand over to Mike. And of course, the way forward. Madam Chair, what is required from the RTMC as a lead agency on road safety? Here you need to develop a management capacity to understand what the road safety issues are, not just locally, but globally as well. We need to coordinate the key stakeholders to develop and deliver strategies, clearly from the understanding that we cannot deliver on road safety on our own. We need to provide a comprehensive strategy with defined targets, time frames. We need to advocate for effective legislation to enable the desired results we need to be delivered. We also need to ensure adequate funding and well-targeted resource allocation for interventions and related institutional management functions. Honourable Chair, what is required from the RTMC as a lead agency on road safety? We need to also promote research, development and knowledge transfer programs. We need to promote road safety in totality in South Africa, bearing in mind that between 38 and 40 people lose their lives on South African roads daily. We need to deliver interventions and targeted achievements. We need to provide robust and systematic monitoring and evaluation to measure performance. We need to review performance against these set targets as well. The target outcomes, goals and objectives were basically divided into the four sub-areas as in Make Roads Safe in South Africa, where we look at the issues of safer roads, safer road users, safer road use regulations, and of course safer vehicles. Under ensuring effective stakeholder relations, we look at the understanding that, of course, as mentioned before, we cannot do this alone. And of course, here we're looking at stakeholder relations across all the different, not just tiers of government, but NGOs, media, and of course sponsors as well. Under the corporate support, we look at the issues around human resources, the training of traffic personnel, as well as financial management. And in terms of ensuring a corporate excellence, we look at the issues around compliance, target setting, monitoring and evaluation, project management, and of course, most importantly of all, governance. The targeted audit outcomes, Honourable Chair, for the year in review 2012 to 2013, The number of planned indicators were 34. The targets that were not achieved were 21, and those that have been achieved are still at 13. Later we will look at why some of the figures didn't come out to what we initially set ourselves. The operating environment on the chain, the staff complement as a totality in the RTMC has decreased from 391 at the end of March to 371 at the end of March 2013. This was as a result of 20 members leaving the National Traffic Police to join the Gauteng Traffic Police because of more favorable conditions of service, such as issues around overtime, payment of other allowance, for example, standby and danger pay, and also being allowed to take the patrol vehicle home, something that we do not allow. Of course, that has led to an element of low morale, and of course, the growth opportunity also is somewhat limited. The review of performance was implemented in accordance with the PMDS policy. The beneficiaries of performance reward processes were limited to employees from level 12 and below. And of course, we are proud to say that we have taken on board 20 interns. And the internship program is a collaborative effort with the Safety and Security Sector Education and Training Authority, SASITA, and the United Nations Development Program through the National Department of Transport. 10 bursary opportunities were allocated to deserving employees during the year under review. And the RTMC received an amount of just a little over R1 million, discretionary grant and a mandatory grant amounting to 384,000 from SASITA, which was used to capacitate officials on technical competencies and soft skills such as advanced driving, e-makers, fraud and corruption programs, and assessors and moderators for various training interventions. There were, of course, some challenges. We had uncertainties because of budgetary constraints, and of course, we have numerous acting senior positions, and this had an impact on our deliverables. The shareholders' committee meetings did not take place as per requirements. The non-appointment of a board of directors had a negative impact as well, and the extended acting CEO period for just over 3 years was also a very unacceptable situation. Inadequate funding for the 3 quarters of the year under review posed a huge challenge, and operations under the year with a depleted senior management team, of course, led to major challenges as well. The achieved targets, Honorable Chair, under road safety management, the RTMC funding, we are happy to say that we are right now. It has moved from a negative position to a positive net asset position. There is a development of a crash information management system which will help us be able to, on real time, be able to indicate exactly where the crashes are taking place, when and how, so that our operations can then be deployed accordingly. We are currently Honorable Chair, piloting it internally, awaiting the signed MOUs from the Limpopo and KZN provinces before we extend to those provinces. Crash investigation and reporting, 118 major fatal crashes have been investigated. Just to define a major fatal crash is a crash in which 5 or more people have lost their lives in one incident, or if there is a high profile individual that has lost their lives, or if it's a crash that involves the closure of a major arterial route for more than 10 hours. Honorable Chair, the achieved targets under road safety management, we look at also the fact that National Traffic Police continues to operate as a national resource deploying to provinces, working together with other agencies, identifying hazardous locations. The essence is to go in, stabilize and exit. The National Traffic Anti-Corruption Unit was also established during the period under review. Successful operations with other law enforcement agencies, resulting in arrests at driver license centers, vehicle testing stations in various provinces, namely KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Eastern Cape. The second International Road Safety Conference was held in October 2012 in conjunction the South African Boys Federation, and a driving school summit was actually held as well to chart a map, to chart a way forward on the inclusion of the sector in regulation, accreditation, training, and legislation. Under road safety, mobility, and safer vehicles, Honorable Chair, the South African Road Assessment Program was also launched with 4,000 kilometers of road that was assessed, and coding has commenced before the rating and action required can be finalized. The National Rolling Enforcement Plan, the second phase thereof, was developed. This is a 365-day seamless month-by-month traffic enforcement campaign that targets various focal areas by setting targets and conducting nationwide blitzes in a harmonized fashion. And that runs across the 3 tiers of government. The Safe Road Users, we launched a Get There No Regrets campaign, which is a multi-pronged road user targeted campaign involving print, electronic media, as well as social media. The World Professional Drivers Championship was for the first time hosted in the continent of Africa when it was held in August last year. And the good news was that our South African drivers, obviously by virtue of their home ground advantage itself, they did exceptionally well in competition with more than 16 different countries from around the globe. The learner programs, the national road safety debates, and participatory educational techniques was held in Cape Town and gains a lot of traction, particularly with the Department of Education and its two projects that are considered to be our flagship projects. Honorable Chair, the predetermined objectives is that we are looking at the issues of the findings that we have found, the root causes that have caused the challenges, what mitigating factors can be put in place which will help us to develop the way forward, how do we deal with the issues of sustained visionary leadership in the corporation, communication platforms that need to create awareness of approved policies and procedures, especially internally. And of course, all approved policies and procedures are circulated and also stored on the central drive or accessed by all staff members. An intranet has been developed internally, so again, policies will be placed on the RTMC's website and also allows for internal communication. Financial and performance management aspects are also discussed regularly with members at both EXCO and MANCO. And of course, the finance unit, there is an element of under resources, purely on the capacity aspect as well. And of course, the financial reports are stored in the system for safekeeping. The senior manager within the finance unit will review all financial reports to ensure completeness. And of course, dealing with the issues of internal audit to conduct an audit of all finance processes to ensure completeness of financial reports. And of course, around the issue of governance, the lack of agreed review dates with governance stakeholders is also a challenge, and agreed dates with stakeholders to review financial information on a quarterly basis as well as performance information. At this point, colleagues and the chair, I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Michael Pomerosi, who's the Deputy CFO at the RTMC. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, colleague Ashok. All protocol observed. My presentation of the financial statements is as outlined on the screen there. I'll start off with our teams who are journey, and then I'll leave out the operating environment as Ashraf has already covered that. Move over to the overall financial position, a synopsis of the statement of financial position, same for the financial performance. I'll cover the opinion in terms of comparative in the sense comparing them from 1 year to the other. That's the same for the net of emphasis, and then move over to the last two details of the audit report, in terms of non-compliance and internal control deficiencies. The RTMC audit journey started back in 2019 financial year with an adverse opinion. The following year was followed with the same adverse opinion, and for the past 2 years, 2011, 2012, and 2012-2013, were both qualified opinions. The overall financial position, if I just highlight the two critical or salient features from the financial position, which we will see on the next slide, it's mainly the going concern challenge which the corporation has faced over the last 4 or 5 financial years or since inception. And we summarize it to say the pendulum has swung from a technical insolvency state to a very healthy balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalent, for example, grew by almost 300%. Property, plant and equipment, or PPP as the financial people call it, has doubled. And the assets exceeds liabilities for the first time in the history of RTMC by 418, almost a ratio of 4-1 compared to the 2012 121 million rand figure. Honorable members, I'm sure you all have seen the financial position, which in essence have grown from 2011-12 to 2013 in total from 296 million to 528, of which the main item is the cash and cash equivalent, which we just touched about, which we said increased by almost 300%. Also particular notice is a property, plant and equipment, which also increased from 7.4 to 14, as said earlier. The balance sheet, of course, is the accumulated surplus increased from 121 million to 418 million. A synopsis of the financial position or balance sheet, as we call it in the old terms. I've already touched on it, cash and cash equivalents, 375 million, of which Arcto stands at 46 million. And that's mainly the infringement fees, which we collect from all issuing authorities and we pay over via their TR National Bank accounts. Inators, the biggest contributor, at 318 million rand. Trade and other receivables, 136 million rand. And that is mainly the amounts owed by the provinces, 108 million. For last year was 138 million, of which 70% is outstanding within the 90-day period, same as last year. And the rest of 30% is what we call long outstanding debts, standing at 41 million rand. And the three provinces, again, with the exception of Gauteng, which is in place northwest, is Limpopo at 11 million, Mpumalanga 16 million, and Gauteng respectively at 14 million. I did touch on the outright infringements, which is due at an amount of 18 million rand. And the non-current assets, as I said, move from outstanding now at 14.1 million and the intangible assets such as software at 1.3 million rand. I'm proud to announce that we have a complete computerized asset register, fully automated, fully implemented, and 100% compliance with PFMA regulations. On the credit side of the financial position, we have trade and payables, which is the main item, standing at 107 million, of which the salient items are 30 million for creditors and accruals, 7 million for accrued employee costs, which is mainly the provision for leave and debt based, and 9 million rent in unallocated transaction fees, which is made steady from last year, 75 million rand being the Arctic infringements. These are the liabilities. The financial performance or income statement in the old terms, total revenue grew from 5185, or in fact decreased from 500 million to 507 million, of which the major contributor again, as I said earlier, is the transaction fees. Government grant slightly up by about 4 million from 77 to 82 million. Other income decreased, and mainly because of the withdrawal of sponsors. From on the expenditure side, the most noteworthy item, of course, is operating expenditure, 211 million rand, up from 178 in the 2011-12 financial year. And the key driver there is a payroll standing at 111 million rand, which is an increase of 10% from the previous financial year. But very noteworthy is just the payroll itself exceeds the government grant of 82 million rand. Bad debts have been written off at 26 million rand. Provision for bad debts, that's maybe the transaction fees from the provinces, at almost 10 million rand. The other major expenditures is the lease agreements, of which we pay rental to the tune of 9.9 million rand. Depreciation 3.5, and we have other projects kind of a capital nature at 9.7 million rand. The surplus for the year was 296 million rand, and the revised figure for last year 340 million rand, which was the previous financial statement a deficit of 41 million rand. Our next slide talks about the audit journal, which I referred to earlier. And if I start at the top of the 2011-2012 financial year, our main concerns there was the going concern, because technically we were bankrupt. And of course, the restatement of corresponding figures. The root cause of those two items was, of course, inadequate funding, and the accounting for Arto was on a cash basis of exception. The mitigation was to request for more funding from Treasury, which up to now has been turned down, and of course, to look at the cash basis accounting method. The way forward, of course, was to approach Treasury for additional funding, also to look at other funding revenues, and to do monthly reconciliations of the ARTO account on a cash basis. For the 2012-13 financial year, the method of emphasis was a significant transaction. I think by now all members are aware, including colleagues, that it was mainly as a result of the transaction fees, which we recognize in our financials retrospectively, which swung the pendulum. Mitigation, of course, was the recording of the transactions as per graph, including an accounting opinion, and then which leads to the recognition of the transaction fees as per the RTMC Act. The way forward is that we will do monthly reconciliations, not only of the transaction fees, but every other expenditure, of course, and income, funding of projects in line with the strategic plan, and we will position our TMC to lead in road matters. I'd like to brief or to pause for a moment with a matter of emphasis and highlight why we celebrate this unqualified audit opinion. And if the House would allow me just to sketch a couple of reasons from the head first, to the unqualified, I will do so by starting off mentioning, as my colleague has earlier indicated, a plus minus 60% vacancy rate. From the vacancy rate, supply chain itself is operated mainly with interns and two permanent staff members. I also need to mention, we know the dark cloud of the going concern due to lack of funds. And all these two, or both these two issues I just mentioned, contributed, it was mentioned also earlier, to the low morale. That lead to one person performing two or three tasks in auditing terms. It is not segregation of duties. Very dangerous. There was a constant threat of the closing down of RTMC in almost every meeting. We keep on hearing these things. As I said, colleagues and honorable members, these things contribute to a low morale. There was, of course, lack of management accounts in a proper budget. I mean, for the first time in RTMC history, their money. The old story of the budget is not linked to the straight plan. That speaks volumes. What was very significant about this clean audit is the management letter for last year, which had about 120 pages, we reduced to 60 pages. That, I believe, comes from the quality of work, automation of processes. There was a synergy amongst the units. Of particular year, I think of HR, for example, who we brought in to strengthen our payroll. And of course, in finance itself, one of our main successes was our strength in diversity. Various strengths that we all put together. What makes it also more important in achieving this clean audit is that we intended to have an interim audit. And that is still going ahead, although not in the fashion of a fully fledged interim audit, but this time focusing mainly on transaction fees and the auto fees, our which the auditor should work in within the next week. That is in line with how private sector works. Interim audit and the final audit is, of course, almost a formality. I also contribute this to the healthy relationship we have with our stakeholders, most notably our AG. And of course, we implemented every single recommendation from our audit committee. Indeed, we are very proud of this clean audit. Without wasting much here, because this is evident in the audit report, the four findings which stand out is 30% achievement of planned targets. And we know that it was a lack of strategy. And our way forward is we calculated that we need about 400 million to sustain our corporation. Annual financial statement performance reports. There was a lack of skilled staff. We're proud to mention we recruited not only CAs, but female, white, all across the borders, our representation is moving. And we're also looking at procurement of financial reporting tools, which was another hurdle we had or we encountered during the preparation of the financial statements. Third item, of course, on the non-compliance, this is in terms of PFMA, was non-compliance with the RCMC Act. We my colleague has touched on the meetings, and we believe a DOT should form a stringent process here, assist us in that regard. The final one is if inefficient internal control process, which we are looking at in terms of implementing the approved policies and development of other necessary policies. The last item on the order to report is the internal control deficiencies. As you all know, split into three fundamentals, such as leadership, financial performance management, and governance. And we will be looking at how to mitigate it, that all policies will be placed on the intranet. And each member, staff member, will be presented with a file. Yeah, the second point of financial performance management, in simple language, is just to get our filing in order. Governance, of course, as we alluded to earlier, is mainly to get our stakeholders to meet as the law dictates. Our challenges, these are the summary of some of the challenges, and mainly drawing from the year under review. Of course, we know the inadequate funding was a big problem. There were recommendations by the task to increase funding. The financial stability, the sustainability of the RTMC going forward, that will be addressed, hopefully with the transaction fees or the retainer thereof. Governance structures, we've heard over and over about the absence of the board and irregular shareholder committee meetings, and legislative framework, including the functions not transferred to the corporation, such as driver's license, change management, associated risk, and resistance. And we are continually developing appropriate strategies to counter the identified challenges and risks. In closure, this financial year was one of our greatest difficulties. There were threats of imminent closure, the inability to make salaries, lack of resources to implement the approved strategy in our APPs, shortage of staff, but we're pleased to mention that we moved from a deficit in the previous financial year to a surplus in the current. The way forward is, of course, capacity building, skills development, training, all spheres of the company and corporation wide. The implementation of the organization structures, what we're currently doing, is all staff assigned performance agreements, contracts, and we do regularly performance assessments. We implemented the task teams, the findings of the task teams and recommendations. And on a monthly and ongoing basis, we are implementing the audit finding for a future sustainable and qualified clean audit. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Any questions?
Thank you very much. We will be back for lunch and engagement questions. Yes, and